Let's just pray for Pastor Shannon as she comes. Father, we're hungry for the word this morning. We open our heart, our spirit, to the good things that you have for us. Mm-hmm. We ask a blessing on Pastor Shannon as she focuses her mind and her attention on the word. Winsome speech for the speaker, Lord, and to the hearer. We ask for the overshadowing of your spirit over this next week. And we're so grateful for your presence, for your faithfulness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, bless you this morning. How many of you are excited to be here? Got another one. I'm just going to put this down here so we remember to go put new batteries in it. I'm glad that you're excited to be here. Be amongst the believers. Amongst your brothers and sisters. And where two or three are gathered. There am I in the midst of them. How many of you said good morning to Jesus? Amen. Amen. I'm excited this morning. Yay. So I have a little story to tell you. Two friends, they got together to meet, having a cup of coffee. And one fellow asked the other fellow, he says, "Say, how's your son doing? He must be getting ready to graduate high school. And, you know, what are his plans?" And the guy says, "Well, you know what? My son plans to be a garbage man." Well, his friend stopped for a minute and tried to think how delicately he could reply to that. And he just said, "Oh, that's really an unusual career goal," was the way he put it. And his friend said, "Oh, no, not really." He said, "I think my son thinks that they only work one day a week because garbage pickup is only on Tuesdays at our house." our perceptions of things. Well, we have been talking. You know what I forgot to get, Krista? The clicker. Oh, here comes Crystal. New ways forgetting something. Getting too excited. All right. Oh, there he is. Hey, man. Ethan, how was Youth Retreat? It was good. Glad to hear it. Like to go again? Yeah, that's good. You want to go back, this always means something good happened. All right. Well, we've been talking and looking at the surpassing worth of knowing Christ based on the scriptures from Philippians 3 there. And we've done a little bit of jumping around, and we started with the first part, knowing Christ. And then last week, we kind of took a look at, not kind of, we did look at what it means to know him or fellowship, share in his suffering. And this week, we're going to kind of go back and, in that same scripture, part three, to know the power of his resurrection. And so let's pull up that scripture. It says, "But whatever were gained to me, I now consider loss for the sake of knowing Christ. What's more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I've lost all things, I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God is the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." We took a look at that word, know, and we're just going to, like I said, do a brief, that know means to perceive, to feel, to understand, to absolutely know. And I gave you the example of my friend Becky, who wrote a book. You could read her book and you could read about the author on the back cover, but that doesn't mean you know her, you know about her. But I, who have had time with her, talk with her, could say, I know her. Some of you out there know her too. And so there is a difference between knowing about somebody and knowing them. And Paul is talking about that, knowing them. Not just knowing about them, but knowing them, experiencing them. We also looked at the word, I got this a little out of order. That's okay. We know this one about taking out the garbage. I compare it a high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand. Everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by Christ. That's the message, a translation on that. That's what it is, to know him, to put everything else out to know him. Yes, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Again, that word know. And that idea of participation is the word koinonia. It's about fellowship, communion, having all things in common with him. And when we talked about that, we talked about what do we have in common with him. First and foremost, what we have in common with God is that we meet God in Jesus. That's our meeting place in Christ. That you and I have died in him. Those of us who are believers have died in him. We have been risen in him or rose in him. We are seated with him in the heavenly places where? At the right hand of the throne of God. And you can say this, I share in the same inheritance as Jesus does. That's what we have in common with him. So this knowing that we've covered is talking about that type of thing. This is what I have. Now, last Sunday I was having a bit of a conversation with Scott, and he shared something with me, and it just struck my spirit in a way that I'm sharing with you this morning, and I have to share the good news that I received from that came through my brother Scott. And that was, let me ask you, when we read all that, what did Jesus do? He paid a debt. And can we sing the song? He paid a debt. I owed a debt. I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. And when we think about that, doesn't it make you want to sing all day long? My debt is paid. So thinking about all that Jesus has done for us, what do we owe God now? How many of us think we owe God, we have a debt to God? We don't. And it became so real to me when Scott was talking about that. I had to sit on that and think, you know, I think I've always thought, you know, I owe him something for doing this. But that is how complete Jesus' paying of the debt is. It's so complete. It is. It's the grace of God. So complete. I owe God nothing. So then, why is it in my heart that I feel like I owe him everything? Because it's not about me paying back my debt. It's about I love him so much for what he's done. I can't even contain. I consider everything else lost compared to knowing that, to experiencing that. My debt is completely gone. I owe him nothing. And I can just love and serve him and enjoy him. We prayed for the offering this morning, and what was coming to me about that is, gee, I thank you, Lord, that I have come to a place that it's not just, I know this is something I should do, not just something I want to do, but Lord, is there a way that I could be even a greater benefactor to the things you have? Show me, Lord, Because it's not about getting more for me. How about, Lord, blessing me so that we can share the kingdom further? And I'm not saying that, I hope you don't hear that as a manipulation, but just like, I just can't stop giving because of how good I have it. Because of how wonderful my God is. Because of what he has done. It's out of that love and that response to what he's done. Not that he is demanding anything from me. My debt is paid. I don't have to fear punishment. I don't hear a demand from him. I can serve. I can now, out of the fullness of Christ, out of the fullness I have in him, walk in such freedom. In fact, Galatians 1:5, does anybody know what that one says? It is for
freedom. Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, be not
do not let yourself be burdened in a ball of slavery. I'm going to put it in water in English. I got it reversed. Sorry. I have it reversed. It is for freedom's sake that Christ has set us. So stand firm then. Do not let yourself be burdened by the yoke of slavery. So if you're feeling this morning burdened by sin or things, stop. Renew your mind after what Christ said here. He has set you free. Debt completely paid for. Not just a little bit, not mostly, completely. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is?
There is
the spirit of the Lord in you?
Yes.
Is the spirit of the Lord here?
Yes.
What do we have?
Freedom.
Freedom. Freedom. Thank you, Lord. Nope. Spirit's moving. Hey, you know what? I just have to say, okay, I'm calling it a word of knowledge. If you are here this morning and you have come in the door with stress, problems, whatever, guilt of sin and shame, concerned about family, it's time to lay it down. It's time to experience the freedom right here and now. So, Father, as I pray, you just do that. Father, we commit these things to you. We see them finished on the cross through the finished work of Jesus, that it is done. The victory is already ours in Christ. Over all these things, all ours. We want the freedom. Holy Spirit, we give you freedom to move in our hearts, to bring that revelation and the joy that comes with it. It is for freedom's sake. You have set us free, that we be free from all of these burdens. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Come on, let's keep going. Okay, so when we've been looking at this, Paul has, in Philippians here, has been desiring three things. First was to know Jesus, my Lord. The second was to know the power of his resurrection. And the third was to know the fellowship of or share in or the communion with his sufferings. Now, we touched on the first one, or we didn't touch on it. We got into it the first week about Jesus, knowing Jesus. Last week, we talked about my Lord, and we talked about the suffering. But this week, we're going to jump back to two here. And I've chosen to unpack it this way because, truthfully, understanding and knowing Jesus' worth, you have to start there. And then looking at his suffering and taking things to the cross daily is where you need to go. That laying down of self, that laying down of our old nature, our old attitudes, the worldly thinking, the fleshly desires or the appetites of the flesh, that coming to know his sufferings by laying down, picking up our cross and walking in that in order for us to know him more deeply. So that we can be transformed into the image of Christ. First Peter 4, verses 12 to 16. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeals that have come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as revealed, if you are insulted because of the name of Jesus Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Now stop and think about that. How many of you want to be like Jesus? Image of the Son. Well, guess what happens when you walk like that? Guess what the world does? Guess what the enemy does? They come at you. Now, says here, don't be surprised. Jesus even said, listen, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. But you know what we need to recognize? If they're doing that, it's because they see God on you, in you. Man, that's worth rejoicing for, because I'm being transformed into the image. They're seeing it in me. What a rejoicing. They're seeing God in me. Because some days I don't feel like I'm reflecting very much of God. But there it is. When we are persecuted, when we are slammed, when we are taken down because of his name, we can rejoice. They see him. I'm reflecting him. I'll point this way. I'm looking that way, but I'll point that way. I'm reflecting him. And the enemy don't like it. But I can rejoice. I can rejoice. But praise God that you bear that name. It says if you suffer, it shouldn't be because of murder or theft or any kind of criminal thing, or even as a meddler. You know, sometimes we, like I said, we get a beat down because we've been meddling in things that we shouldn't be. Don't equate that with suffering for Jesus. It's not. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. How many of you are glad you bear the name of Christian? Christ bearer, Christ follower. For the Spirit of God's glory rests upon you. You bear his name. How many are happy to take that home today? How many of you are happy to just take that home today? Well, I could wrap it up and we could all go home, but we're not going to, because there's more. It gets better. Do you know that with Lord? It always gets better. It always gets better. Oh, praise the Lord. Peter's desire was not only for himself to know these things, but all of us believers. And I'm going to just put up here Ephesians 18 to 20. It says, I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you have been called, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. Let's read that first part of 19 again. Can you see it from where you're sitting? And his incomparable great power. We're going to stop there. Okay, so who is this power for? And is it just a little bit? It's incomparable, great power. That power, okay, let's continue. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Who's that for?
Us
who believe. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead, that incomparable great power for us who believe. Chew on that for a minute. It's in us. So I'm not going to hold you there too long. You can go home and think about it too. So how can we know God? We're going to go through this kind of quickly because most of us understand this, but we're going to put it in some points here. It starts with knowing about God. And then it grows into a desire to get to know him more. Jeremiah 23 and 24 says this. I put it this way because it's big. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. I count all things a loss, Paul says. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in this I delight, declares the Lord. I'm going to boast about him. Paul, you know, he goes through and he lists all of his good qualities and then he says, I count it as trash. Dog done. Scrape it off your shoes. In comparison to knowing God, and God says, I delight in this when you want to come and get to know me. I delight in that, he says here. Let's go to John 17:3. Now this is eternal life, that you know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom sent to. Here's the life, getting to know them. That's that gnosis. Excuse my pronunciation in Greek. It isn't great. But that knowing beyond just knowing about. And it starts with knowing about, but it moves in. And as we seek him, as we press in, he is faithful. Then we start putting our faith in him. Hebrews 1:6 says, and without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. Well, that just makes sense. If you don't believe somebody exists, you're not going to go to them. Right? You'd have to start there. You've got to believe he exists. And then that he rewards those, and I'm going to say this, who earnestly seek him. If you, in your heart, are looking for him and earnestly seek him, he's going to reward you. First of all, by getting to know him, and then, I mean, it goes on and on and on, and I'm not going to list it all, but as you get to know him and discover him, you learn more and experience more, and if you're earnestly seeking him, he will reward you. 1 Corinthians 2:5, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. We put our faith in him. And I don't know, there is so many more verses. Please note, I don't have every verse here, I just have some, okay? That is for us to seek out in this word. It's so good, he's so good. Next, we take time and we start praying and talking with him. In Psalms 5:3, it says, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay all my requests before you and wait expectantly. I go before him, and I sit and I talk, and I share with him what's going on in my heart. I make my request, and please don't let all your conversation be a shopping list. Right? If people come to you and the only thing they want is something from you, it gets a little, your heart doesn't want to... engage. It's like, okay, you get suspicious. What do you want? Do you really want me, or are you just after what I can, you know? God has so much for us, but again, we can lay that before him. We can talk to him about our stuff. We can talk to, I'll tell you what, rather than going off and gossiping about somebody to somebody else, why don't you take it to the Lord and tell him how you're feeling? Unless you're like Jonah and you don't want the result that's promised, you know, Jonah takes off. You know, because the Lord will heal. The Lord will bring freedom. The Lord will bring deliverance for you from this situation. And we wait expectantly. We wait in faith. Let's move on. What's the next scripture with this? From John, 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And we say, well, I don't know what God's will is. Oh my goodness. The word is full of his will, his promises. Health, healing, healing, salvation, reconciliation. I mean, there's so much more. I mean, those are little tasty, you know, ones that we know. strength, peace, joy, restoration, new life, salvation, and it goes on. Let's go to number 4. How can we know if God, following him, his word, even when it doesn't make sense? We talked about that last week, about the lordship of Jesus Christ, surrendering to the lordship of Jesus Christ and his word and his ways. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on... oh man, is that hard. Because man, am I smart. Do I know things? I have lived life and I know things. Come to me, I have the answers. And then you read this, and then reminded of the lordship of Jesus Christ, where I lay down my for his, because lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to him. And what's going to happen? Man, sometimes we walk down some pretty crooked paths thinking we're we're on the right straight path, and it's just like, oh. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, this is the Lord talking to us. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Man, when we start thinking like the Lord, when we start renewing our mind after the word of God and the promises of God, we start getting the mind of Christ with these higher thoughts, with these higher ways, and they're not ours, they're his. I'm not leaning on my understanding, I'm leaning on his. And what do you suppose would happen if the saints, the believers, actually took hold of this, made Jesus the Lord, start following, and I'm not saying Savior, I'm talking Lord, start following his ways, seeking his thoughts, the higher things. What might start happening? Revival. And it started. So let's pursue it. Let's pursue the ways of God. Amen.